because God is truth, we can know truth, and we can form coherent beliefs and values that correspond with reality.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
That is a critical question, isn't it? What is truth? What is truth? How do we determine truth? How do we know if something is true? And we might ask, so is it true to say, well, you know, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me? Is truth objective and clear, or is truth simply all subjective and cloudy? Now, I have a little confession for you. The plan, what I wanted to do was to show a little video here that hilariously illustrates truth and the danger or folly of relative truth. But then I had a little, how shall I say, technical issue with my computer. How many of you would like to hear all the details about my technical issue with the computer? Okay, one person. All right. Well, you're outvoted. So, well, two. Now there's two of you, but still outvoted. And don't everybody raise your hands now, because that's not going to make the video magically appear up there, okay? So the plan is, Lord willing, we'll show that to you next week. But the question is, what is truth? Is it objective, something we can know? Is it clear, or is it simply subjective and mushy and cloudy? Well, we're continuing then with our series today in the biblical worldview, asking again, what is a worldview? A worldview, again, is that framework of our most basic beliefs that shapes our understanding of the world. And it's the foundation then, or the basis for our values, our priorities, our attitudes, our actions. And everybody has a worldview. You do, I do, everyone does. Whether we're aware of it or not, whether we fully understand the implications of it or not, everyone has a worldview. Now, for followers of Jesus, hopefully we have a biblical worldview. But that biblical worldview doesn't come automatically. Even if we're believers in Jesus, we can be influenced by many other philosophies and worldviews. And so as followers of Jesus, we're called to increasingly conform to the biblical, the scriptural view of things, because the advantage we have in holding on to a biblical worldview is that the biblical worldview also happens to conform not simply to biblical teaching, but in turn conforms to reality. It is truth. So we've considered some concerns, critical concerns human beings have on origins, meaning, morality, and destiny. And we're asking critical questions. Does God exist? Or today, what is truth? And upcoming messages, is the Bible reliable? Is the resurrection true? Well, today we want to focus on truth, asking that question, how do we determine truth? What is truth? And what I want us to take away from it is this understanding, is that because God is truth, we can know truth, and we can form coherent beliefs and values that correspond with reality. I want to start us off in the Gospel of John, chapter 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 18. Here Jesus is on trial. It's the night before his crucifixion. And he's standing before Pilate. Pilate is questioning him, examining him. And John tells us then, so Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? What is truth? Why did Pilate ask that question? What was on his heart? What was on his mind? Is he genuinely seeking to know truth? Perhaps, but I doubt it. I think what he was really saying is he was a skeptical, cynical, political ruler. And Jesus had just said, he has come to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate, I think, from that political, skeptical point of view, says, what is truth? And what is truth? I think in Pilate's mind, it would have been, for some, there were the common people of the day, many of whom did not know a lot, who would have considered a lot of things true. Everything is true. But then there were the philosophers of the day, the skeptics, who denied any kind of truth. Nothing is true. And then there were the politicians, like Pilate, for example, who were pragmatic about it and said, what? That which works for me, accomplishes something. Well, that's truth. So I think Pilate's what is truth is a politician saying, okay, I see these different points of view out there. Really, who knows? What is truth? Well, in this series, I've been asking you to put your thinking caps on. I'm going to ask you to put them on again. I have one person already saying, oh boy, here we go again. That's right. That's right. I'm going to ask you to put them on again. I'm not going to dwell a lot on this part of it, but I want to establish a foundation for answering or addressing this question about truth. What is truth? Can we know truth? Well, if you ask a philosopher, what is truth? They'll probably rattle off that there are three main approaches to that question for how we determine what truth is. You ready for this? The correspondence theory, the coherence theory, and a pragmatic test. The correspondence theory is essentially says this, that truth is that corresponds to reality, the way things really are. Truth is the way things really are. And the correspondence theory of truth then says our job in trying to determine truth and stating truth is to get to the point to where we are saying corresponds to reality, the way things really are. That sounds like a pretty good definition to me, doesn't it, to you? What corresponds to reality? How things really are. Coherence theory. If something coheres, it fits in or it fits together. So a coherence theory is that says, well, truth is defined by how well a particular belief that you have coheres or fits together with other beliefs in a system. So it's thinking in terms of we've got a worldview, we've got a system of beliefs, and does this belief cohere, fit in within this system? And if it does, well, then it's true. Well, I would suggest to you there's an element of truth in that, but I would not want to go so far as to say that is truth simply because it coheres or fits together within a system of beliefs. So it's true. Then finally, then, the last is the pragmatic test. Pragmatism means what? It works for you. It accomplishes some practical thing. A pragmatic test then asks, what practical difference does a belief make if it's either accepted or rejected? Test is, well, this is the basis for what? Well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Well, if it works for you, well, then I guess it's true. If Jesus works for you, he's changed your life, he's given you hope and all that, well, I guess it's true for you, but you know that Jesus stuff just doesn't work for me, so it's not true for me. Let me ask you, does that even make sense, really? No. But that's how a lot of people live, don't they? Does this really correspond to reality? No, it's, well, you know, does it work for me? Do I like it or not? Does it fit into what I want to believe? That's a whole other topic there. So those are some basic theories about truth. I want to give you a definition of truth. And I realized I kind of left something out that is more of the spirit of the age even, but we'll cover that in a moment. Truth is that which corresponds with reality, and it is independent of any person's opinions, beliefs, or desires. Here's the part I left out. It is independent also of any person's feelings, how you feel about it. So truth is that which corresponds with reality. A truth statement is that which states how things really are, and it's independent of any person. That is, it doesn't matter if I believe it or not, it's still true. It doesn't matter what my opinion is on it or not, it's still true. It doesn't matter what I want. Well, I want the truth to be this, or I don't want the truth to be that. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's still the truth, whether I want it to be true or not. And then feelings kind of fits in with that as well. How I feel about it. I like it or I don't like, that. Or, you know, if that's true, well then that just, it just makes me uncomfortable. And I want to be comfortable with my beliefs. Well, you know what? Reality doesn't care about how comfortable you are with it. In fact, sometimes in order to get better, we have to be very uncomfortable for a while, don't we, with truth and reality. So truth is that which corresponds with reality. It's an expression of the way things really are. And it's independent of any person's opinions, beliefs, feelings, or desires. There's some contemporary challenges to truth then. We touched on a little bit just a moment ago. Objective truth versus subjective. Objective truth is what we're saying is that something is true objectively, that it is separate and independent of a subject, of a person. It is objectively true whether this subject wants to believe it or not, does believe it or not. Versus subjective truth. Subjective truth says what? Truth. So objective truth is lies outside of the person. Subjective truth is within the person, within the subject. The person determines it. Objective truth is outside of the person. Subjective truth is within the person. Which ties in then to another issue of absolute truth and relative truth. Absolute truth says what? There are certain things that are true across the board for all people, for all times, all ages, all cultures, everything. This is absolutely true. Versus relative truth says what? Well, again, that maybe that's true for you in your time or your culture, but it's not true for me or for our time and for our culture, because you see, truth shifts according to human thinking. Truth is relative. Objective truth outside, subjective within the person. Absolute truth, true for all time. Relative truth, works for you, true in this time, in this culture. Here's your vocabulary word of the day there. Two words. Logical positivism. That's part of the spirit of the age now. This is what we can know is, fundamentally is this. The only things that we can really claim are true are things that are linguistically definable true. In other words, it's an expression of a definition of words. Classic example is this. All bachelors are unmarried. Is that true? Yes, it is. Why is that true? Because we define a bachelor as what? As a man who is unmarried. So yeah, that's true. So the only things we can say are true are things like that. Self-contained definitions. Or things that can be empirically demonstrated. Translation, scientifically provable by experimentation and repetition, the scientific method. So the only things that we can really say are true are those word definitions, essentially, and that which is scientifically, empirically demonstrable through experimentation and repetition. Otherwise, everything else, reality, what the nature of reality, morality, what is right and wrong, all that, we're kind of up for grabs about that. Even history. How to interpret history? Right? Postmodernism then. See, the modernism believes that truth is knowable and discoverable. Postmodernism says, not so much. And thinks everything is just a haze, is gray. Denies the knowability of truth. Is highly skeptical. It is subjective. And that's the spirit of the age we live in now. To a part, or to a degree, but we don't have time to go into all that now. So what do you think? The biblical view of truth then. Is it postmodernism? Maybe that's true, maybe not. I don't know. Is it logical positivism? If it can only be scientifically demonstrated through experimentation and repetition. Or relative truth? Well, if it's true for you, then I guess it must be true. Or subjective? Just within me? No. Biblical view of truth is it's objective. It's outside of us. It doesn't care what you or I think about it. It's irrelevant whether you and I believe it as to regards of whether it's true or not. All right? So it's objective. It's outside of us. It is absolute. That is, there things that doesn't matter what human thinking or human culture, how human culture may change or evolve. There are things that are still absolutely true. It is absolute, it is objective, and it's also knowable. You see, there's a spirit of the age now that just denies whether we can even know truth. Any truth. But the biblical view of truth says it's objective, it's outside of us. It's absolute, it applies to all people of all times. And it is knowable. Yes, you can know the truth. So let's look at some scripture passages that deal with this biblical view of truth. If we were to go through the scriptures and ask of the scriptures, what is truth? What would the Bible say? If somehow you could imagine that this was able to actually, the voice of its teaching were able to just come to respond to us to say, Bible, what is truth? What would it answer? What would it say? Well, I want to suggest there'd be a lot of things it would say, but here's a few things I think that it would say that's important for us. I think first it would take us to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Here, this is the night before the crucifixion. Jesus is gathered with his disciples. He's telling them about what is about to happen. And they had become very troubled by that. And so Jesus says this to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, what? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I think on this critical question of truth, what is truth, and the biblical worldview of truth, the first thing we would say about it is, and this is critical, is that truth is a person. The biblical worldview is not simply that truth is a set of objective statements independent of any view anyone else has been. It is true that we can make statements that are objective, independent of any person's beliefs, opinions, wants, desires, feelings. But ultimately, though, truth is not found in a set of statements. Truth is a person. Jesus Christ is the truth. God is truth. God is the truth. You know, we've touched on this once before. We said that truth is not something which God conforms himself to. Truth is not out there, and God says, let me figure this out. Which is the right answer to this? What's true? And then says, oh, that's the correct answer. Okay, well, that's what I believe. Doesn't work that way with God. God is the truth, and everything that we can know as the truth comes to us from God. It's revelation from God. I've told you this story before, a while back now, so I'll tell it again. So if you heard it before, too bad, you're going to have to hear it again. How many of you are getting used to hearing the same stories over and over again? A few of you? Okay, yeah. I have some friends that could really tell you, they give you a very long list of stories that get told over and over and over again. But here's this one here. It is, when I was a young man, I was in seminary, I was struggling with the great questions of life, trying to find my way through it all. Making my faith truly my own, asking the deep questions of life. What is truth? Can we know truth? Struggling mightily with this. And at that time, it was my first year in seminary, so I was living in the dorms. Trinity had dorms. So I was staying in the dorms. And there was a guy down the hall that he was a little bit older than me. And he was coming. He had actually been out in ministry for a time. He had gone to like a Bible college, and then he was out in ministry for a time, and now he was coming back to go to seminary. So he was a little bit older than me, and so he kind of became almost like a big brother in some ways to me. And so we were having this conversation, and I was just laying out there all of my various epistemological quandaries. What is truth? Can we know truth? And if we can, then how do we know it? And once we know it, how do we know that we know it? Or for that matter, then how do we know that we know that we know it? And so forth. You can see where that leads, right? You can see why it leads to you banging your head against the wall like I was doing. So one night we're sitting there, we're talking about all this, and he says to me, Danny, he called me Danny, I don't know why, but he did. Danny, truth is a person. Truth isn't something just to be try to figure it out there somewhere. Try to latch on to the right set of statements. Truth is a person to be known and to be loved. Truth is a person who reveals himself to you. And this person who reveals himself to you does not, and I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Danny, but he does not always tell you everything you want to know. There are going to be things that you're just going to have to say, I don't know. But the point is you know the one who is truth. Truth is a person. It's not just a statement of facts. Things are true because God is. That which is true reflects the nature and the will of God. And God is knowable. He's very knowable, actually. So truth is a person. I think this book would flip over or flip back a few chapters then next and take us to the Gospel of John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8, verses 21 through 36. Here, Jesus is having he's having a debate with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, but Jesus never really debates with anyone, does he? Jesus states truth, and people may take issue with it. And the Pharisees tended to take issue with lots of things Jesus said and did. So here Jesus, when he says, Jesus, said to them, the Pharisees, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Oh, that, I just get chills. I am going away, speaking to the Pharisees, referring to what? His crucifixion and death, right? I am going away. And you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. And where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So they said to Him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But He who sent me is true. And I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, referring to what? His crucifixion. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And they answered him, We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be" what? "Free indeed." Free indeed. So truth is a person. I think that's the first thing this book would tell us. Truth is a person. But here's another thing it would tell us about truth and the biblical worldview of truth, is that alignment with truth brings life and blessing. Alignment, that is when we align or orient ourselves to that truth, then comes life, eternal life and blessing. Alignment with truth. There's another word for that. What is that other word right there? What? Faith. Trust. Trust in that truth, and that truth that is a person, right? Trust in Jesus. Aligning, when we align ourselves, first of all, there is faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation, right? For redemption, for forgiveness from sin, for the gift of eternal life. We align ourselves with that truth by what? Believing what Jesus has said about us, about our need for a Savior, about who He is, about what He has done, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Believing, trusting in Him, trusting the Lord Jesus. That faith brings the gift of forgiveness and righteousness, eternal life, alignment with truth. But there's another way that even as we're believers in Jesus Christ, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, okay, we've come to believe in Him, we've received forgiveness, we've received the gift of eternal life in His name. Doesn't stop there, does it? Our life then becomes what? A process of increasingly aligning or orienting ourselves to the truth. Do Christians believe lies? Do they believe lies about themselves sometimes? Do they believe lies about one another? Do they believe lies about the world? Do they believe lies about the truth? What the truth is? So, the biblical worldview isn't simply, well, truth is a person, and truth is out there. How many of you know they're remaking that, or they're doing another, any fans of the X-Files here? It's okay, you can admit it. Okay, all right. So, well, if you hadn't heard, I think it's starting in January, they're doing like a little revival of the X-Files here with Mulder and Scully, right? But it's only going to be like a brief run, like maybe like 6 or 8 episodes, okay? But you remember one of the tagline of the X-Files was what? Is that the truth is out there, right? The biblical worldview says, well, the truth is out there in this person, God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're followers of Jesus, now the truth is not simply out there. It is where? It is now in here, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And as followers of Jesus, we are to increasingly align ourselves with that truth. That is, submit our wills to the truth of who God is, what God says is right, what God says is wrong, what God says is true, what God says is false. You might think of sanctification or growing in our faith. In one sense, you might think of that as simply the process of aligning our wills and our thinking more and more with the truth. Because what is the enemy's favorite tool to use against us? the lie lies, right? Truth is a person. Alignment with truth brings life and blessing. Something else, though. 1 Corinthians, you may already be aware of this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. Speaking to the Corinthians, Paul says to them, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of Christ, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." You realize what he just said there? The world thinks it's so wise in that, and yet it's so foolish it doesn't recognize true wisdom. So God now preaches a wisdom that is folly to the world. And through it, people are saved. "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So, truth is a person. Alignment with truth brings life and blessing. And here's a stunning insight. Ready for this one? Some truth is offensive. In fact, a lot of it in here is, isn't it? Some truth is offensive. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. It just doesn't make sense. It was a stumbling block to the Jews. Messiah crucified? Are you kidding me? And it was folly to the Greeks. Well, God coming into the world in a man and dying for me, for my sins. And what is this? But to the called, who are the called? The believers in Jesus Christ, whom what God has known and loved from the foundation of the world, right? But to them, it's not a stumbling block and it's not folly, but rather it is what? It is the power. It's the power of God unto salvation, isn't it? And it's wisdom. It was true then, it's still true today. One final thought, also, from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are," what? "Ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, which is folly to the world, but to the called is the power and wisdom of God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Truth is a person. Alignment with truth brings life and blessing. Some truth is offensive. And followers of Jesus, though, no matter how offensive it is, are nevertheless called to be ambassadors of truth. An ambassador is a representative of a foreign government in another land. We are ambassadors. We are representatives of heaven in a foreign land in this world. Ambassadors of truth. So whatever the world says about it, no matter how it may appear to the world, truth is a person who is knowable, who has clearly revealed himself in the Scriptures, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and is offensive to some, but nevertheless is true. Because remember, truth is not tied to how someone feels about it. Because it's offensive doesn't mean it's not true. Followers of Jesus then are called to be ambassadors of truth. Ministers of reconciliation. You and I have the privilege of being agents or being used of God to bring reconciliation between a holy and righteous God who judges sin and sinful, lost people who are in danger of eternal judgment, but who can know forgiveness and become righteousness in Christ through faith. So what? Well, I would remind us again that because God is truth, we can know truth. That doesn't mean that God is going to reveal or has revealed everything we want to know. But he's revealed enough. He's revealed what he wants us to know. So we can know truth. And out of this, then, we can form coherent beliefs. We can put together this truth of God in a way that makes sense, because God makes sense. Beliefs and values that, conveniently enough, are not simply a coherent worldview that may or may not be true. It is a worldview that also corresponds with reality, because truth corresponds with reality, the way things really are, regardless of what you or I think about it. So I'd close with this question. Are you progressively aligning your life with truth? I said before, we can think of faith as aligning ourselves with the truth about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, submitting to that. But we can also then think of the process of growth, of discipleship, sanctification, that is growing in the truth, as a process of what? Increasingly aligning our lives by submitting to the truth. We become more and more like Jesus, who is the truth, right? So for the follower of Jesus, truth is not so much a set of doctrine, although that's part of it. Absolutely, we've got to have right doctrine. But if that's all we have is doctrine, we haven't arrived at what God wants for us, have we? He wants not only right doctrine, but he wants right living. He wants faith and obedience to him, to what he has said. Is your life progressively aligning with truth? By the way, this isn't something that you and I can just choose to do. Well, I'm going to do this. This is something that we need We need the power and the grace of God to do this, don't we? It is something, in fact, that God does within us. But he calls us to submit to him. Submit to the Spirit. The Spirit of, Jesus called him the Spirit of what? Truth. Right? Let's pray. Lord, we know that we live in a challenging world, a very confused world, that believes and wants to believe all kinds of things that are at odds with the truth that you've clearly revealed in your word. Thank you, God, that we can know truth, because we can know you, and you are truth. God, I pray that while you have not revealed the answers to everything we may want to know, you have told us what we need to know, what you want us to know. And we believe, God. We believe in Jesus. God, we ask that by your mighty grace and power, that you would give us the will to continue to align or be aligned to the truth in our lives, that our lives would more and more reflect your word, which is truth, and would bring you joy and glory. May we be faithful ambassadors to a world that denies truth, that is hostile to truth. But you, Lord, you are the sovereign Lord, sovereign over denial and hostility. Some of us right here in this room were hostile to you and to the truth, denied you and denied the truth, but your love broke through. May we be faithful ambassadors of your love and your truth. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.